Hello, how you doing? You well? Friday morning. Grim one in Manchester, in Greater Manchester this morning. It's pretty grim out there, but it's kind of nice as well. It's been very muggy and humid over the last few days. And I don't know, it makes a bit of a change. Nice and fresh this morning. Good morning. Are you well? Are you good? How are things? This is the Newspaper Review Show, streaming live, of course, on Google's YouTube. I know. It's Friday morning, the 5th of July, to my US viewers who might not be watching it now but might watch it later on. Hope you had a nice 4th of July holiday yesterday. And you got absolutely rat-arsed. Why not? And forgot about life's troubles for a while. That's the thing. Right, very brief roll call here. How you doing? You well? Yeah. I'm all right. Chris Brown, Chris, Mark, Steve Bennett, Mark Perry, Gail, Nick Farrell, S. Buxta, who's in Canada. Still dark out, but the Robin is chirping away. Tell him to get back to the Batcave and leave you alone. Hi to Ellie Larkin. How you doing, Ellie? Enjoy your cup of tea. Steve's in Portsmouth. Letra Blaze, good morning. Good morning, Samantha Jordan in Essex. An Essex girl. Meaning she's as thick as a plank. No, of course not. How you doing? Samantha, who tweets the programme regularly. There's about 700,000 Essex girl jokes, aren't there? Monty Mole, Philip Blair, Danny Warden. How you doing, Danny? Letra Blaze is in Manchester. Come on, son. Yeah. Manchester is not one of the sun's stops. It's not on the sun's round, usually. We've had a bit of it lately. How you doing, Lawrence King? To a Tuha De Danann. Ihawajan. Ihawajan. What's it? That's night day. That's night morning. Majin what dit, I should say. Mark Rogers is in Wisconsin. Couple of great people in Wisconsin. 3 now, Mark, with your good self. I'm thinking Kevin Barrett, of course, and Jim Fetzer. Hi, Alan White. Hi, Mr. B16 Nick. How you doing, B16 Nick? There's an amputee doing the weather now on the BBC, says Nick. I wonder if she's transgender too. That's a couple of boxes ticked right there, says Nick. Ah, Nick, we've become very cynical, haven't we? Yes, that's following on from my rather stupid comment. Is that as we fill positions and roles in society with more and more minorities to be more diverse, we'll eventually get blind, crippled, lesbian people in wheelchairs doing the 9 o'clock news. Now, I've no problem with that if they're good enough at reading the news. There's actually a story about diversity in the news this morning. I'll bring it to you in a minute. Hi to Sean Mack. Gordon Carroll is in London. How you doing, Gordon? Beautiful day for Test cricket, says Gordon. Yeah, we've got a big game up here tomorrow, have we? Have we got Australia-India at Old Trafford tomorrow? Is it tomorrow, Saturday? Might be. Thought about going, but it's very steep. Very, very expensive. The tickets that are left, very expensive. Hi to Keith in Florida. How you doing, Keith in Florida? Good for you, mate. Nice to talk to you. John and Sarah Stott. Andrew Lawther in Belfast. How you doing, Andrew in Belfast? Nice to hear from the Irish this morning. Even if you're the loyalist Irish, Andrew, I don't mind. Lots of loyalist friends, actually. I do. Hi to Cassie Barkley in Glasgow. How you doing, Cassie? To Martin Coombs, to Robert Muldoon, Peter Campbell, and to Joe Public in Edinburgh. How you doing, Joe? To Mayday and to PB Awake, who's in Durham. Thanks, PB Awake in Durham. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to share something with you. Good morning. Can you read that now, or is it back to front? I've no idea. Anyway, I'm going to be selling stuff. I'm going to be flogging stuff like a market hawker online in the autumn. Now, this is just a prototype made by my friend Tez. How you doing, Tez? Tez is in Northwest Radiators right now around the corner watching this. When you should be dealing with your customers, you lazy bastard. Get back to work, Tez. Anyway, Tez is making these. Sorry about the screaming. This is a prototype. and I showed you the Chemtrails t-shirt the other day. And it's not going to be about geoengineering. I'm going to be selling some interesting things to help raise awareness about issues, but also to help fund the programme. That's the radio programme, right? And Tez reliably informs me, because he manufactures this stuff himself. He doesn't do it in China, doesn't do it in South Korea. Tez is not horsewhipping four-year-old Korean children into making this stuff. Although I wish he would. Horsewhip some Korean children. We'll get them cheaper, Tez. Anyway. Horsewhip some Korean children. Please don't. There you go. As Lucas said in that. I know it's fizzy drink. But when you're as beautiful as me, when you run 6 kilometres every morning and you weigh 14 stone, 7 pounds, which I do now, and 6 foot 6 inches tall, it's all in proportion, ladies, you can drink as much sugar as you want, but I don't ordinarily have sugar because it is a carcinogen. I know this. But I have got some Lucozade this morning. There, you see the Lucozade there? Yeah, a little bit of Lucozade, yeah. Lovely. So I'll be like this in a minute. Because I'm such a child, and if you've listened to me long enough, you know how immature and how childish I am. I'll be buzzing in a minute with the Lucozade. Right, where were we? Talk such crap, me. Yeah, so there will be a superstore. But Tez tells me we can make bespoke stuff. So you can get in touch with me through the website, and you can say, Richie, there's an issue that I'm covering or that I'm interested in. Can you knock us up a couple of t-shirts? And I think we'll be able to do that. And it'll be affordable. And Tez is the man. Tez doesn't want anything. He's a legend. He'll do it for the sake of the radio show. So there you are. Right? Okay. Papers? Papers. Oh, yeah. Papers have got everything this morning. Politics, sleazy sex, and diversity stories. So this is the last one of the week, so let's make it a good one. What's in the papers? Yeah. This is the greatest place on earth, says Boris. No, it isn't, Boris. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. The UK is not the greatest place on earth. Millions of people are going to bed hungry every night, my friend. Working people are having to go to food banks in order to feed themselves. Women are having their children taken away from them at the rate of knots by corrupt social services and family courts for spurious reasons, like there is a risk of future emotional harm to the child. We sell weapons to countries like Saudi Arabia, despotic regimes, knowing that they're going to use those weapons to blow men, women and children to pieces in Yemen. It's what we do. It's what we do. We have useless cretins like Jeremy Hunt, Boris, and yourself, promising that if Donald Trump wants to invade Iran or bomb it from the sky, we'll join in too. Greatest place on earth! It's a shithole here! Run by scumbags and lunatics! Nothing great about it. Get back to Ireland then. When have I ever said that Ireland is any better? Ireland is worse. It's worse in many ways. Under the European Union jackboot. The greatest place on earth. My arse. It's a failed state, the UK. Here's the Mirror. Boris billionaire backer and the Holmes scandal. This is about some of the contributions made to Boris Johnson's leadership campaign and the dodgy men behind him. Property developers making billions out of building properties for wealthy people, while no homes are being built for people who can't afford to buy. Of course, that's all part of Agenda 2030, isn't it? We know this, don't we? They're not going to build affordable homes. They are not going to build social housing. They're not going to undertake social housing projects to provide homes for people to rent, people who don't have much money. They're not going to do that. They say they will. Labour says it will. We'll build 1 million new. No, you won't. You're liars. You can't stop this agenda. The only people who can stop it are us. You and me are the only people who can stop it. Not politicians. They will not build homes for the working poor to rent, owned by the state. They won't do that. If they did that and they didn't borrow the money from the Bank of England to do it and they issued that credit themselves, well, the economy would be kickstarted in a heartbeat. They won't do that. They're not going to build homes for people. It's all part of Agenda 2030. Super cities. That's what they're going to build. Daily Express, we will be ready for no deal Brexit. This is a promise, I suppose, by both candidates, Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson. The UK is not leaving the European Union. Okay, if there is a deal agreed, it will be Brexit in name only, which they have dubbed Brino. It'll look like we've left. Well, it won't really. But we will still be subject to European Union laws and regulations, and we'll still end up paying some money in, and freedom of movement will not end in any deal agreed with the European Union. This is nonsense. It's in the Express today. We know this. Again, we know why. Here's the Times. Public fear the streets are lawless, say police chiefs. Well, the public know that in some parts of the country the streets are lawless because of successive governments cutting police funding. The very last Labour government, the Conservative Lib Dem coalition government, these recent Conservative governments have decimated funding to the police in this country, to police forces around the country. It is deliberate. Okay, because the elites have a very dark and sinister vision for policing in the future. A lot of the problems we see now, stabbings, gangs, county lines, drug running, that sort of stuff, is down to the fact that there are nowhere near enough policemen and women out there patrolling the streets. Not like we used to have years ago. So it's very easy now for gangs and drug runners to operate because they are very unlikely to encounter a police officer. Told you a story on the radio show. It is totally true. I don't tell you lies. Returning from Manchester Arena a year and a half ago, late at night, to our former home on Wilbraham Road in Fallowfield. We were stopped on Princess Road, Caroline and myself, for a bit because there was a crash, a minor crash. And would you believe it, I got out to ask, was there anything we could do, or, you know, how were the people involved? Were they okay, kind of a thing? Police officer came over and said, look, everything is hunky-dory. We'll clear the road now in a minute. And the guy standing with him said, you are the Irish guy who does the conspiracy show. And I said, I am. Well, I said, there's a few Irish guys doing conspiracy shows, but I'm one of them anyway. Anyway, he knew the programme. And he said, I listen from time to time, and I have listened when you've talked, he said, about the underfunding of public services, not just the police, but also the NHS. And it was nice, right? He was a nice guy, young policeman. Then he said to me privately, he said, Richie, have you had a drink? And he was joking, right? And I said, no, I haven't. I would never get in a car with a drink in me. I did it years ago in Spain. I'm not proud of it. Rotten thing to do because Caroline's bar was close enough to where we lived. On occasion, not often, but on occasion, I would have a few Bacardis and I would drive back. And it was wrong. It was lousy. And if I'd been caught, and if I'd been banned, or if I'd been fined, or even sent to prison for a couple of weeks, I would have deserved it. It is absolutely fucking wretched thing to do. And I would never do it again. I'll always own up to the fact that I did it. And in Spain, expat drivers, there's an epidemic of it. They just don't care because if you are caught by the Guardia Civil, you've only got to give them a couple of €100. That's how corrupt it is. It's bad, right? So anyway, I said to the policeman, no, mate, I've not had a drink. I said, if you want me to take the breathalyzer, I will. He said, not at all. He said, I was only joking with you. Anyway, Richie, he said, you can go into town any night of the week you want. You and your partner, you can get rad-arsed and drive from Manchester City Centre, right? Right? He said, right? Around the... You can go on the Ring Road if you want, right? The Ring Road. You can go anywhere. Around Stockport. Come back. Right, head back up on Princess Road, heading south, right, down towards Hume, and then beyond Hume, then down towards Wally Range. You can take a left then onto Wilbraham Road, Richie, and you can be swerving all over the road and you'll never be caught. And I said, why? He said, there are no police officers on any given night in Manchester covering Princess Road, covering Moss Side, covering Hume, covering Wally Range, covering Fallowfield. And my English listeners will know that is a massive amount of land, amount of the city. He said, on any night, there's only one squad car. Only one. And I said, you're shitting me. And he said, no. And he said, you know what's going to happen now? And of course I knew. I said, yeah, you're going to clear the accident off the road. You and your pal are going to drive back to the station and there'll be no car covering all of that distance. And he said, exactly. We are absolutely hammered with paperwork, added to the fact that we don't have enough bobbies, men, women on the beat. It is absolutely the Wild West out there on the roads, he said. And I said to him, well, if you've listened to the radio show, you'll know what I think about that. And he said, I agree with you. I said, they're destroying it. Bring about the public reaction, bring about the outcry as crime gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and then they'll privatise. That's what they'll do. They'll privatise. Watch RoboCop, Paul Verhoeven. That is not far-fetched, that. In the future, when Detroit's policing is run by a private corporation that puts robots out on the street, and that's all of this stuff is predictive programming, right? This is coming down the line. Destroy policing. People go, oh, it's terrifying out there. You've got to do something. Well, we can't manage it by ourselves. Let's introduce this company. They're brilliant. They've had experience in the US, maybe. Right? They'll come in and they'll take over aspects of our policing. Artificial intelligence, all that stuff. It's no joke. It's a fact. It is a fact. Let's be honest about it. It's not conspiracy theory. It's what's going to happen. Speaking of the police in Oldham, which is not too far away from where I am, it's not too, a few miles away. Some scallywags were running a cannabis farm out of a disused police station. Yeah. Wow. Gotta love it. Quite successfully too. When the police eventually cottoned on to what was going on, they turned up, but the scallies had taken the stash and the little farm and had moved elsewhere. Well, they were never going to look in an empty police station, were they? I think the criminals, if you want to call them criminals. Very clever. Very clever indeed. Well done. That's enterprising. That's nous. That's savvy, isn't it? What's in the Star? You've been shamed. This is really interesting. Apparently a load of documents from the Porton Down. You know Porton Down? Salisbury, the Skripals, and all that. I'll just keep doing that. Salisbury, Porton Down. Apparently, a load of documentation, papers, from Porton Down, with some very important and very useful information contained on or within those documents, were just chucked into a bin that anybody could find and read. No harm there then. That's the Star. I didn't read the full story, but brilliant. What's on the iPaper today? Well, you saw this news yesterday. Just off Gibraltar, a tanker bound for Syria with Iranian oil was seized by a crack commando unit which flew from Portsmouth into Gibraltar. Southampton to Gibraltar. Got their gear on. Took their little speedboat and intercepted this tanker because it's bound for Syria. The ship's manifest apparently declared that the oil had come from Iraq in a bid to fool the authorities, because you see, Europe has imposed sanctions on Iran, and Europe is participating in any sanctions levied by the United States of America and Israel, or by Israel using its puppet, the United States of America. Europe just goes along with it. European Union. And they've seized this Iranian oil tanker. That's the story in the on the iPaper front page today. A lot of newspapers today covering that story. What's on the Financial Times? Same thing. Britain seizes tanker suspected of smuggling Iranian oil to Syria. Lovely. Lovely. The Metro. London bridge killer shot by rookie cop. You know, the inquiry. into the London Bridge shooting. I know many of my listeners on the radio show are not satisfied with the explanation proffered to the public by the security agencies about the London Bridge attack or attacks. They think there's more to it. The Guardian goes with a story about asbestos in many schools. There are many schools in the country that haven't been treated for asbestos. And treating for asbestos means removing the asbestos. And it's a very interesting health story. The Guardian alleges that this is putting students, pupils and teachers and parents, of course, at great risk because asbestos is deadly. Horrible death if you're exposed to asbestos over a period of time. Gets into the lungs, of course, and it would be a very awful end for anybody. This is a very serious story. Also on the front page of The Guardian, planting billions of trees, best way to save the planet. Yeah. Planting billions of trees is a good thing. Of course it is. But I wonder, did the person who wrote the article for The Guardian, did they check? Did they do any research about tree planting? Like, if you're going to write an article about trees saving the planet, you would contact local authorities around the UK, wouldn't you, to ask them, how many trees do you plant every year? Because if you did that little bit of summary research, basic journalism 101, you would find that trees are being cut down all over the country because 5G transmitters don't work so well when confronted by trees. So by all means, plant billions of trees. Trees are beautiful. They are healthy. They are wonderful. They are vibrant. They are mysterious. I have no doubt that trees emit positive energy. Okay? Healing energy comes from these great things. I'm blessed, by the way. Just outside my front door, there are several. It's a leafy little part of Salford where we are. There are several very old trees, several hundred years old, and they are huge, and they are majestic, and they are healthy. Beautiful things. Yes, plant trees, of course. Hug a tree, even. Sit next to a tree and read a book. Leave your microphone alone. Because that's a beautiful thing to do. And it's better for you than any, you know, any number of things you could choose to do with your spare time. So plant trees, by all means. Stop cutting them down. What's in the Sun? Dell of Estate. This is the gutter press again. England midfielder Dele Alli, who plays for Tottenham Hotspur, has been filmed a little worse for wear on his holidays. Is there any such thing as privacy for anybody in the 21st century? Is that acceptable? How's that in the public interest? The lad is on his holidays. Because he's unbelievably fit, the lad, I bet you he gets pissed on a couple of cervezas. Give him a couple of caños. Dos caños, por favor. A couple of caños, right? Caña. And I bet you, gone. I bet you he's out. Gone. Out like a light. Because of his fitness. I know when I'm very fit, and I am very fit at the moment. In terms of I can run great distances and I'm in great shape. I'm 14'7" at the moment. I can't drink because of that. If I have a couple of Bacardis now, I'm gone. Like this. Gone. Where's the privacy? How's that in the public interest? Leave the chap alone. You know, piss off, is what I would say to the Sun. I'm going to read a few comments, and then I'm going to read with you one or two very interesting stories inside the papers today. I've got to go way back now. You commenters. You've been commenting. Lovely jubbly. Drinking when driving is fine, says Chuck. It's not, Chuck. It's not. Unless you're drinking on an abandoned road and driving. Drinking and driving on a road that is used by other drivers is disgraceful. And I did it. And I'm guessing that probably most people who've ever driven have probably gotten into a car at one time or another over the limit. It's a selfish, rotten thing to do. and I'm not preaching here. I'm not preaching because I did it myself. It's rotten. Hi to Ruth Cormack, to Alien Creation, to Venus Rising there as well. 2-6 is sitting in a field right now. Good stuff. With good mobile phone coverage by the looks of it. Marvellous. Somebody's mentioned Pizzagate. Pizzagate, yeah. Lawrence says the Civil Contingencies Act. Lockdown and curfew for the poor. It's in relation to a story earlier on about public housing and it not being built. Let me go on down there. Utterrata 2 says police exist to allow the rich to rob the poor. Yeah, of course, increasingly over the last 30, 40, 50 years, the policing does exist to protect the elite and to protect the wealthy classes from the rest of us. I agree with you. Michael Kelly says, yeah, the police seem to get the numbers up when banks and property is under attack. Again, I don't disagree with that. Hi to Bruce Blunt. Morning, Richie. So the Great British Soap Opera continues. Do people really still believe in this bollocks the MSM put out? Well, they do. They buy the papers. They watch the 24-hour-a-day soap opera, which consists of BBC News 24 and Sky News. Neil Gardner. Good morning, Richie, from an annoying devil's advocate. Morning, Neil. Private Robocop says, Nick. Keith says, so Richie, you're actually calling for more police? Cops went on strike in New York and crime went down, says Keith. Keith, yes, I'm actually calling for more police. Why not? But not a police force that exists only to protect the super rich. Obviously not. But police to do real policing. You know, to protect communities. To protect people from other people who would do them harm in their neighbourhoods. That's what policing should be. Every neighbourhood has got an idiot. Every city has got more than its fair share of scoundrels and scam artists and robbers and violent effing thugs. And the police should be there as the last line of defence for the people, Keith. But I give you, my friend, I give you, and I give the other commenters this morning, they have increasingly, over the years, not served the public interest. I agree with you. Jesus, I mean, do you listen to the programme? Of course, the radio programme. Hi to Data Footprints. Let's scroll on down. Norfolk Iceni. Lovely. Let me go on down there. Let me go on down. To Car Dinny. I might repeat some of these because I'm absolutely. Hi to Nigel. N-I-J-L-E. Morning, Nigel. To Spurs 1. Spurs 1. Good morning. Champagne, then bed. Well, they have been chopping loads down. They have been chopping trees down all over the place. Jason Derulo, how you doing, Jason? Who says that he could see Brexit happening and initiating a worldwide manufacturing recession. Naturally blamed on the Brits, who would later rejoin, says Jason. Hi to Mary Monica. And the trees breathe CO2, says Mary. Indeed they do, Mary. That's how carbon gets sequestered. It's not just in the oceans. It's not just in the rocks. It's not just in the atmosphere. It's in plant life and trees as well, of course. Well done. PB says he's planting or she's planting trees around his or her own house as well. Hi to John Parsons. Coniferous forestry all over County Mayo. It renders the land useless. Nothing lives under these canopies, says John. That's an interesting perspective, John. Hi to Truth Site, who says, Richie, the seizing of that tanker off Gibraltar apparently has nothing to do with the Iranian oil. It is alleged that the tanker was on its way to a refinery in Syria that is sanctioned by the EU. Wink, wink. That's right. That's what they're saying. It's about sanctions on Syria as much as Iran. Well said. Mary says, I put it to you, Richie, that repeating MSM is empowering the enemy. No. I would argue with you, Mary. You have to understand, Mary, that the Richie Allen radio show, which, and I don't say this now in any way to be arrogant, is the most listened to independent radio show in this country by a mile and in Europe. I've posted the figures before. They are irrefutable. I've put the metadata online. Okay. And many of those listeners are brand new to this information. So it's very important to talk about these stories because, as my old friend David Icke said many times, often contained within the pages of the national newspapers are real clues and a kind of a blueprint for connecting the dots to kind of show the overall agenda. So it is good to look at what's in the papers. It's certainly not empowering them. It's highlighting what it is they're saying and then contradicting it at times and putting it into perspective, Mary. But I hear what you're saying, Mary, and it's been said to me before, but I respectfully disagree. Philip says, what is 14 stone 7 pounds? What is it? It's about 205 pounds, is it? That's what I am now, 205 pounds or something like that. 95 kilograms or something, I don't know. An Adonis. I'm an Adonis. Hi to Marty Bogroll. Well, you do a show on the Freemasons, Richie. Done plenty over the years, Marty, but I'm always happy to revisit this stuff. Hi to Trailer Trash, Scottish Bull. Dawn B, how you doing, Dawn? Nice to hear from you, Dawn. And I'm going to go to one or two of the stories inside now. All right, all right. Extinction Rebellion. Remember them? Took over London, or central London anyway. Caused chaos, cost businesses millions of pounds. Morons, the young, the woke, as they call themselves, who scream about they have to take the law into their own hands because they are the youngest generation and people like you and people like me are destroying the world for them. Therefore, they can break the law in the name of saving the planet, which isn't under any threat. It's a dirty old planet. We are dirty bastards, human beings. We are filthy. We are polluting lakes, rivers, seas. We are destroying the countryside. Of course we are. All in the name of Agenda 2030. But we could not destroy the planet if we wanted to. I don't believe. Anyway, these snowflakes are now threatening to cause chaos at Heathrow Airport. It's in the mail. We're going to shut down Heathrow. These woke assholes. I've never heard of chemtrails or geoengineering. You're doing a lot of name calling lately, Richie. I am. I'm getting grumpy in my old age. And I don't care either. I've got very thick skin. You should see the things I get called. Give me a break. They're going to use drones to disrupt Heathrow flights over the summer. They've announced this. These scruffy, sweaty, unwashed little bollocks is here in the picture. They will give 2 months notice. They will then call the police and ask to be arrested. A fleet of pink toy drones to be used to bring Heathrow to a halt, to a standstill, and screw the possibly hundreds of thousands of people who want to head out to Spain and Portugal and France and further afield for their holidays. So there you go. They're terrorists, these people, aren't they? Aren't they terrorists, aren't they? Let's be honest about it. Isn't this terrorism? Why are these people not being arrested? Why are they not being brought to a magistrate or to a court? Why are they not being tried? And when they are found guilty, why are they not being given real sentences that will deter them from doing it again? Why? Because they are a product of the same system, the same elite agenda that is 2030, Agenda 2020, Agenda 2030. The Global Action Plan, the elites call it. They are on the front line of pushing this agenda. And they are on the front line of changing people's minds. Getting people, ordinary men and women like you and me, to support it. This is why they have not been proscribed. Because they've proscribed any number of groups in the country. for thought crimes, haven't they? Over the last few years, various groups, whether it be on the far right, whether it be Islamic groups, radical groups, they've prescribed them, made it illegal to be a member, even though no crimes had yet been committed or no laws had yet been broken. Now, I'm not saying that some of these far right groups or some of these Islamic radical groups wouldn't have committed crimes. Yes, but they hadn't and they were prescribed. So why hasn't Extinction Rebellion been prescribed? These people break the law. They brag about it, laugh about it. They find it very funny. Then they threaten to use drones around an airport. Where are the arrests? Arrest them. Charge them. And when they are, if they are found guilty of disrupting the traffic out of international airports, well, then bang them up for 6 or 8 months. Let them think about it in a cell. Yeah, I'm deadly serious about that. I know some of you will be very surprised to hear me say that, but I'm deadly serious about it. Man-made carbon emissions are not contributing to warming on planet Earth. It is a hoax. There is no truth behind it, not a shred of evidence. In fact, all the evidence is to the contrary. And what these people want to do is to transform human existence, to make human existence unrecognizable in a few years' time to how we understand it now. A world where there is a social crediting system which constantly, managed by artificial intelligence, which constantly evaluates you and your family and affords you a score based on how good a citizen you are, how good you are to the environment, what you're eating, what you're not eating, when you're using heating, when you're not. This is the lunacy this crowd of nutcase children, completely ignorant of what's really happening. This is what they want the world to shape up and to look like in the next few years. So I say yes, arrest them. Billy club the bejesus out of them if they resist. I don't mean that really. I don't like violence. But bang them up! Using drones around airports, huh? Huh? Are we the last generation? I wish you were the last generation of fucking useless snowflakes. The woke generation. But you're not, sadly. There'll be more coming after you. This is the area here. It's absolutely ridiculous. And of course, Jeremy Corbyn, buffoon, the Green Party, the Lib Dems are embracing this, congratulating the children, and taking every opportunity to be photographed with them. We're on board with this. We love the kids. I'm not on board with it. I hate the little bastards. I hate them for their ignorance. I hate ignorance. I hate people who celebrate their ignorance, who fucking broadcast their ignorance. I hate it. Triumphantly exposing their ignorance and laughing about it. They know nothing, this woke generation. Nothing. Only what they are told by their university lecturers and by the newspapers they choose to read. And with this mob, it's usually The Guardian, isn't it? Dreadful. Dreadful. Ladies, have you ever coerced your man into doing something he doesn't want to do and offered sex as a reward? Have you? Have you? You might have done. Interesting story in the Mail today. Very interesting story in the Mail. Would you go on a sex strike, meet the four women who use bedroom bans, to make their husbands clean up and be better fathers to their children? Now, this might sound like a funny, quirky story in the female segment of the Daily Mail, but there's a little bit more to this, I think, than meets the eye. There's three women, and they banned their husbands from sex, with them anyway, until their husbands improved around the house and improved his fathering. The one on the left there says she regularly goes on strike to get what she wants. The one in the middle says, I do it to make him a better dad. And the one on the right says, it's Saturday. What? Is it a passion or a frisson to our relationship? Anyway, unbelievable. Tell you what I found interesting about this. So they reference a play from Aristophanes, 411 BC, a play which was about women withholding marital favours until the war ended. But this has come back, or it's in fashion now because of something an actress said, Alyssa Milano, first in Commando, wasn't she, with Arnold Schwarzenegger many years ago? Then she was in Charmed. Refuse intimacy to protest against abortion laws. So you've got Maggie McKenzie, and Maggie McKenzie says, let's have a little bit more. Wait till you read this. She's married to a financier. And she went on sex strike, first of all, in her mid-20s. Because she was a vegetarian since her teenage years. And had always dated fellow vegetarians. But then she met a meat-eating man. And she fell in love with this guy who was meat-eating. But she didn't like the fact that he ate meat. She couldn't square his diet with her personal values. And she found it impossible to be intimate with someone who smelt of meat. Do people who eat meat smell of meat? Do they? I wouldn't have thought so. Maybe whatever you've eaten is wafting from your breath until you brush your teeth. But unless you've cooked in a kitchen, standing over a frying pan, and you've not got great extraction, can't imagine anybody smelling like meat, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. So this is what got my interest, what piqued my interest. I really liked the guy, couldn't square his diet with my personal values. So I slept with him once just to prove how good we were together. And I told him that if he wanted to forge something serious with me, including further sexual relations, he'd have to give up meat. Though I hoped he would change his ways, I wasn't expecting him to, so I was shocked when he caved in after a fortnight and became a vegetarian. Suddenly, I realised how much sexual power I wielded. We went on to date for 5 years. So she said no sex, and after a couple of weeks, he became a vegetarian. Although you could argue that he still occasionally eats a cow. Boom, 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 bish. In subsequent relationships, I used sex strikes to achieve everything from getting my home redecorated to letting loose with internet purchases. I don't think it's manipulative, it's a win-win. I'm happy and he's sexually satisfied. Oh, Jesus. Can imagine the future Mrs. Allen doing that. Cut the grass, will you? No. If you do, I'll take you upstairs. No. All right, then give me the keys to the shed. I don't know. This is all born out of Me Too, isn't it? We've got to empower women. Not that we've got to empower women. Equally, we've got to put women in power and in charge. That's what it's all about. I don't care who's in charge, really. Not in this system. Doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. Interesting stuff, I thought, this morning that was in the mail. There are more interesting things. Let's get to one or two of them. Get up them stairs, Richie. Diversity. Do you see the metro? It's got the rainbow colours. Everything is pride now. I told you yesterday, some of the buses as it pass the house on the street, they've got the pride rainbow colours on the buses now. Everybody wants to be seen to be virtue signalling to the LGBT lobby. I won't say community, because there isn't a community. There are LGBT people. There is no community. You've got a virtue signal. So they're making a live-action version of The Little Mermaid, which was about Ariel, the Little Mermaid. Did you see it? Under the sea, under the sea. It doesn't sound anything like that, the song, doesn't it? Of course it doesn't. Toby Akinbade. Is she somebody who banned me on Twitter or blocked me? She might be. Toby Akinbade. She's written about this. Racists can accept there's a crab with a Caribbean accent, but not a black Little Mermaid. Apparently racists are upset at the notion there will be a black actress in the live-action version of the Disney classic. The young woman's name is Halle Bailey. Apparently she's a marvellous singer. And she's going to play Ariel. She was called after Halle Berry. Her mom was a big fan of Halle Berry. Now, Halle Berry is an actress. Wonderfully talented actress. What's the name of the film she played in? She might have won the Oscar for it. She was with Billy Bob Thornton in it. Her husband was on death row. Fantastic performance. Brilliant stuff. Halle Berry. Don't see Halle very much these days. Or maybe I just don't see her. So, people are kicking off, allegedly. Are they? Are people really kicking off because there's a black young woman who's apparently a brilliant singer? I doubt too many people are kicking off. But the black journalist says they are. People are fed up. They're showing their ignorance. People are questioning why a black woman is going to be in The Little Mermaid. But I've had a good look this morning, dear viewer. And I can't find anybody really who's kicking off about this story. This is a non-news story. So why are you covering it, Richie? Because a non-news story, in my as far as the Richie Allen Show goes, is a news story. Why? Why protest about something that's not really happening? Right? It's not happening. Nobody cares. We had Daryl Hannah in Splash. Eugene Levy. John Candy and Tom Hanks, didn't we? We had Daryl Hannah. Nobody cared. So she says, just admit that you don't want black women casting lead roles with your chest. But who doesn't want black women casting lead roles? There's an agenda here, you see. To make a story where there isn't one. Again, to claim that we are surrounded on all sides by bigots and racists, when in fact we're not really. That's not to say that there aren't bigots and racists. You know, I was called a bigot when I said I thought it was a bit silly to consider Idris Elba, successful black actor in England. I think he's a good actor, is he? I've not seen much. I didn't watch the BBC drama that he was in, and I've not seen him in an awful lot of things. He's supposed to be good. But you'd be putting him in James Bond just to make a point, wouldn't you? And that's not fair, that. I believe this young woman here will probably do a good job playing the Little Mermaid. Now, whether she was chosen because of her ability, and I hope she was, or because they wanted to fill a quota with her, which is not good, we'll never know. But the idea that there are thousands of racists lurking around every street corner who are up in arms at the fact she was chosen, I think it's just a nonsense. Myself. This is on RT today. Google Maps outage sparks mass disorientation. This is a little glimpse into the future. Google Maps went down in some parts of the world, right? And it caused absolute chaos because people couldn't get around. Now, this is amazing, this. Because I've talked about this for years. Ever since Google Maps became a thing, I've been talking about people using it incessantly. And by doing so, becoming very reliant on it, number one, which is dangerous. But number two, the skill of orientation, the skill of being able to find your own way around by looking up, looking for street signs, looking for landmarks, asking people. How you doing? Oh, I'm not too bad, yourself. Yeah. Where's the poster? All right. All of that disappearing because of Google Maps. I found myself becoming unbelievably reliant on it myself, driving. And I realised it was a terrible thing. I would get in the car, and wherever I was going, I would input the destination and listen to the voice directing me. And I realised that after a while, I was doing it all the time for the same journey. And I was saying to myself, you should know the journey by now, Richie. You should know the journey by now. I would get into my car in Fallowfield, and I would head for Cheetham Hill on the other side of Manchester, and I'd put the sat-nav on. And after a while I realised that I actually couldn't confidently make the journey myself, weaving in and out of the streets that I need to weave in and out of. I thought, that's not a good thing, so I stopped using it and began to rely on just looking at the street signs, and on motorways relying on looking up at the overhanging signs with the junction numbers and the big emblazoned right across the green signs, city signs in the middle, Leeds, so stay in the middle, stay in the middle and you'll end up in Leeds. And I started doing that and ended up in Halifax, of course, and Bradford, and then pulled over and put the sat-nav back on again. But it's very interesting, this, how reliant we are becoming on technology. And there is an agenda, of course, to mesh, to merge us with technology, for us to be terrified of losing it. And I presume people went absolutely crazy and were on Twitter and Facebook screaming about the fact that they couldn't get on Google Maps. Just look up. There are signs everywhere. You know? Caroline said to me once, about 2 years ago, let's go to Formby. I said, let's do it. Get Jazz. Get the poo bags. Get the swim gear, the swimsuits. Get the inflatable stuff for lazing around in the shallows. At the shoreline. Get it all, Caroline. Get it all in the car, because I'm a lazy bastard. I don't do anything. As Caroline loaded up the car, we got in the car and she went, you're not seriously putting Formby into the sat-nav, are you? And I went, I am. And she went, Jesus, Richie. Head south, Richie. Follow the signs for Liverpool. And we know that after a while we'll see signs for Formby. Yeah, but that's what's happened to us. Cemeteries are full to bursting, dear viewer. They're full, cemeteries. There's no room anymore. And a lot of people still don't want to be cremated. A lot of people are terrified of cremation. I'm not fond of cremation myself, as an idea. I like the old Bernard Manning joke, by the way. Bernard, the great comedian from these parts, when he was dying, when he was on his deathbed, this is true, and he only had a couple of weeks to live, he did a little routine at the Embassy Club, knowing that he only had a couple of weeks to live. The audience knew he only had a couple of weeks to live, and he did a wonderful little 5-minute routine, and he said, because people were a bit morbid, obviously they're seeing a guy for the last time, they know he's not got much time left on planet Earth. And the first thing he said, Bernard Manning, was, he said, me brother says to me the other day, do you want to be buried or do you want to be cremated? And I said, surprise me. I thought that was very good. I don't want to be cremated. Maybe I don't know. Anyway, we're running out of space to bury people, right? So let's bury people alongside the motorways. Bury the dead, because they stink up the earth, said Brian Brown in Cocktail. He should have got an Oscar for that, by the way, Brian Brown in Cocktail. The film itself is pretty dire. It's good. It's good in parts. We like Tommy Cruise. Brian Brown was brilliant playing Doug Coughlin. Coughlin's Law, bury the dead, they stink up the earth. Wonderful bit of philosophy there. Bury them. British motorways have never felt particularly life-affirming, but they could become even more soulless under proposals to bury the dead alongside major roads to free up room in cemeteries. That will cause carnage on British motorways. Why? Because of Irish drivers like me. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Do you understand where I'm going with this? Can you imagine if running parallel to the nation's motorways, you have graves of people buried? You know what Irish people do when they pass a crucifix of any description? You know, don't you? Irish people know this is what we do. We cross ourselves. We bless our face. You got to bless your face when you walk past the church. You got to bless your face. So there will be carnage on the roads of England as people like me are driving along down the M1. Oh. Bang. Wow. 500,000 deaths in England and Wales each year. There will be no more plots left in the country within 5 years. So Professor John Ashton, former president of the Faculty of Public Health, has called for green burial corridors next to roads, railways and country footpaths. Wonderful. Wonderful idea. There's more of it. Here he is. Here's the genius. Marvellous. Yeah. Why not? I reckon cremation will eventually be forced on people. Governments will eventually say, won't they? Look, there's just no room. So we've got to go for cremation, like it or lump it. Any more comments there? Kazi tells me, Richie, dead bodies are used as compost in Washington, USA. They recently legalized it. Did they? I'll have to look into that, Kazi, not impugning your message at all. Unbelievable, huh? Oh, it's Sharon Gale. How you doing, Sharon? Good morning. Unbelievable, huh? Oh, did Jason Williamson carry on up the motorway? Wow. Hi to XXWLZXX. And thanks for your donation. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. Marvellous, huh? Unbelievable. Chuck says, good morning, Chuck. You've recommended an interviewee, Chuck. Chuck, thanks, but no thanks. I know who that person is, Chuck. And I met him briefly in London. And I don't have any interest in him. That's just me. But thanks anyway, mate. Nothing against him. Just not interested in speaking to him on the radio programme. No One's Flower says, I asked directions to the post office 3 times yesterday in Manchester. But when I got there, they wouldn't help me. Yeah. Hi to Benji Mikey. How you doing, Benji Mikey? Marvellous. Right, I think I'm going to take me leave of you. Hi to Chloe77. I think I'll take my leave of you today. I'm glad that we weren't interrupted by the tradespeople. There's a floor being delivered shortly and it's going to be put down next week, but it's not going to interfere with the radio programme. Let me just answer a couple of very quick questions, then I'm going to love you and leave you. I've been with you for an hour now. Richie, I've been asked by many people, Richie, the radio show in recent weeks, sometimes it's 2 hours, sometimes it's 90 minutes. Is that going to be the way of the future? No, it's not. Things have been a bit up in the air now lately. The morning newspaper review is not going to impact on the live radio show at all. And once we get past the summer, once we get into September, it'll be 2 hours every day and there will be usually 2 guests on it. Whether there is 1 guest or 2 guests, it'll be a 2-hour programme. There's a lot going on. And I think I deserve a little bit of credit for not going off the air. The radio show's been on all the time. And I've done this every day. I'm giving you lots of content now. Whether it's any good, the content or not, that's up to you, for you to decide. but loads of content. No, the programme will be a two-hour radio show, 5 to 7, Monday to Thursday, as usual. Don't worry about that. Nothing is changing. What's happened is there's just a lot going on personally, not just with the house, but personal things. And I've been unable to source as many guests as I've wanted to for the programme. And the summer is always difficult anyway, with you know, getting quality guests every single day. It's much easier from the autumn to the winter through the spring, as you know, or maybe you don't know. But anyway, no, it'll be 2 hours as usual. Be 2 hours next week most days. I've got some good people booked in next week. So it'll be 2 hours. And it's I don't believe there's been any lack of quality. I'm my own harshest critic. And I do have a couple of very, very well-known people who regularly critique the output for me and listen back to it for me and point me in various directions. Because you see, when you work in commercial and national media, once or twice a month, the head of programmes will critique your programme, tell you how you are doing. And obviously in the independent media, as an alternative content creator, I wouldn't have any access to criticism. So what I do is I use some of my old colleagues in commercial radio. And I say to them, listen, have a listen, give me some feedback. And they do give me some feedback. They say, you're doing this too much, or you're not doing enough of this, and you're saying this, and you've done this. And that's good, and that's how I do it. Keeps me on my toes. So I will always answer these questions about the radio programme. It stays the same. It's going to be 2 hours. And probably what I'll do in the autumn is I'll tighten up the newspaper review, and I won't allow it go beyond 30 minutes in the mornings, because I'll need the time to produce the radio show. So there you are. So what I'm going to do now is chase up the tradespeople, go and do some domestic stuff that I've got to do. I've got loads of it to do. And then I'm going to try and get a bit of time for me over the weekend, because it's been a hectic week. It's been a hectic month, really. I'm going to have a bit of downtime, relax, enjoy tomorrow. And I will speak with you again, of course, on Sunday morning at the usual time of 11 o'clock on the radio show for Sunday View, where I will be looking through the UK's national Sunday newspapers, the tabloids and the broadsheets. So until then, have a fabulous weekend. Look after yourselves and one another. Thanks for bearing with this live stream. I don't know why you do, but you do. Thank you. I'll speak to you on Sunday. It's bye from me. Bye now. Bye now as we cover up. Bye.